the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Welcome aboard the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. As I always say, it is the state's number one podcast without any proven data to back that up. What makes it number one is the listeners and the guests. And today I have a guest on, all the way residing on the west side of town, with the nickname the Golden Eagles, the school, Bishop Carroll Catholic High School, coached by none other than good old Dusty Trail. This young man has received numerous offers to go on and play at the next level. He's a proud member of the Bishop Carroll Golden Eagles football team. I'm talking about one, Mr. Carter Morris. Mr. Morris, how are you doing today? There we go. Doing all right?
Just enjoying my Sunday watching the Chiefs game.
All right, since you're watching the Chiefs game, the first thing we're going to do is get you in trouble. Who you rooting for?
I'm a Chiefs fan, man.
You're a Chiefs fan. All right. Well, y'all heard it. He's a Chiefs fan, so if there are any Ravens fans, y'all have to take it up with him. I'm just the host and conductor of the train here. So, Mr. Morris, tell me something. You've been playing football for how many years?
So my first year of full pads was second grade.
Second grade, and haven't looked back since. And what has been your favorite position? Because I know at that young age, you probably have cycled through many positions, probably running back, defensive back, all along the offensive line, defense. What is your favorite position?
My favorite position is linebacker, but I started off as like a center, so I was down there snapping the ball in the trenches.
And I bet that was a lot of fun, because I'm pretty sure some of those defensive linemen had pranks. They liked to play it on the center, even in practice, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty good at it, but, you know, I was never a big fan. I've always thought offensive line kind of sucked, but now I see their worth. But when I was young, I was like, this position sucks. I ain't scoring touchdowns. I ain't doing nothing. I don't get no celebrations.
I'm going to tell you like this. I'm 56, so I've watched a lot of football, and they always say that offensive lineman is the most thankless job. But if you take them away, you'll find out just how much the running back and the quarterback appreciates them, because without them, the running back, the quarterback, and even to some extent the wide receiver don't get the limelight, because it takes that front line to keep them protected. So, yeah, as like you say, as years go on, you find to appreciate those guys, even on the defensive side when you're watching the game. You're like, hold them up, line. Let them get a breakthrough, right?
Yeah, I know that now, but when I was little, I was like, man, this job sucks.
Absolutely. Like you say, it's thankless, no fanfare. Unless you go on to the next level now and you get one of those guys that has a good NIL deal and they say, you know what, I'm going to treat my alignment. So, so what made you start playing football?
I always kind of played soccer when I was young, and then I just kind of fell out of love with soccer and wanted to try something new. And my family was always pretty big on football, so my dad got me into football, and ever since then, I kind of just took off. I loved it. Yeah, never looked back on it.
Never looked back. So, basically, you broke the mold, though, because you mentioned that you played soccer, but you fell out of love with it. And it's been my knowledge that a lot of guys that play soccer ends up as a field goal kicker or kicking in some type of capacity in the high school level. So, how did you manage to avoid that?
I mean, it was the second grade, so, I mean, we never really ever kicked when we were that young. So, I mean, when I stopped playing soccer, I was just super young, so I never even really thought about kicking.
So let me ask you this question. Since we're talking about kickers, how do y'all treat kickers at the high school level? Because, you know, when you get into the college and the pro, you always hear about how different the kickers are. And, like, when it's time for them to kick that game-winning field goal, everybody leaves them alone. So how do y'all treat, especially the field goal kickers, do y'all give them that solitude, or do y'all treat them as part of the team?
For the most part, at our high school, our kickers are, like, normally just, like, out-of-position players that can come in and kick. I mean, they're obviously part of the team. They just kind of practice it very seldom at practice. So, yeah, because they got other positions to worry about. So it's kind of just like a second job to them.
Okay. So other than the kicking position, what position do y'all's kicker actually play? I mean, besides kicking, is he, like, on the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball? Does he have multiple positions?
This year he was a wide receiver for us.
Oh, so basically he was that dog then. He was that guy then. So tell me about the position that you play and what is it that you love about it. I believe you're a linebacker, right?
Yeah, I'm a Mike linebacker.
All right, and tell us because you hear those terms, Mike linebacker, Sam linebacker, what is the difference between the two?
So for me at Mike, it's more or less sideline to sideline, but just straight downhill. So for me, I just love it because I'm not necessarily worried about the pass game as much. More is like outside run. I'm pretty much just hammering down every play in the middle, trying to make sure that they don't get any yards up the middle on those short third downs and short fourth downs. Just kind of, I just love hammering down, hitting people real hard. Laying the wood a little bit.
Laying the wood. So who would you say are some of your favorite linebackers in the NFL that you pattern your game after?
Well, obviously Ray Lewis, but, like, pretty new guys. I like Nick Bolton on the Chiefs. He's legit. The dude on the 49ers, what's his name? He's got the long hair.
What's I think name? I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name either.
Fred Warner.
Fred Warner, okay.
Okay.
I have to say I'm disappointed because you didn't mention one name. I'm kind of disappointed.
Who's that?
You didn't say Micah Parsons. Come on now.
He'd be getting down on kind of like defensive end sometimes too. So.
So he would be what you call a hybrid. So you're strictly Mike linebacker. You don't try to get on the line or anything like that.
Oh, and I very seldom blitz this year too. So.
But if you had to blitz, what would you say your speed is? Because nowadays, like I said, I mentioned that name Micah Parsons for a reason, because he's a freak of nature. You don't see nobody his size with the type of speed that he possesses. What's your 40 speed?
It's about 4.8, 4.9 right now, but I'm pretty up in weight. It'll get down a little bit. I'm pretty bulked up right now.
Okay. So you received some offers to go to college. So which college are you looking at, and why that particular college?
So my top two offers right now are William Jewell and Northwestern Oklahoma State.
William Jewell, that's in the state of Missouri, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah, Liberty, Missouri.
Liberty, Missouri, okay. And, of course, the school in Oklahoma. So what do they offer you as far as being able to excel at the next level?
So at Northwestern Oklahoma, they have the Coach Jones, he's the head coach. He has 15 years experience coaching for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know, they just hired a new defensive coordinator. His name's Jerry Glanville.
That name sounds familiar. That would be Jerry Glanville Jr., right?
What was that?
Would that be Jerry Glanville Jr.?
Maybe. He's pretty old. He's head coach for the Falcons.
That's the old man. Right. I could tell you a story about him. If you look at some of the old NFL sound bites and pictures, he's the one that came up with that very famous statement. He said, "This is the NFL. You know what that means?" He said, "That stands for not for long when you make calls like that." He was very hard on officials. So,
yeah. No, I got to meet him personally. I was just up there Friday through today, so we came back this morning.
Good,
so
cool.
I met him yesterday.
And what was it like meeting such a I'm just going to say the legend like that, because every time you seen him on the sideline, he was always dressed in black like Johnny Cash. So what was it like meeting him?
That's how he dressed yesterday. He had his sunglasses on and everything.
Very old gruff grunt.
I had to make sure to show up in a cowboy hat just to impress him.
Right. I'm surprised you didn't have the long black trench coat to go along with it too.
Oh, I needed it. That's the iconic picture I've been showing all my family when they ask about him.
Absolutely. So, what are your aspirations? Because if I'm correct, was this your senior year? Or you have one more year to go at Bishop Carroll.
My senior season.
Your senior season. So, what is it you're looking to get out of the college life, as far as making it to college and playing, and then making it after college? I know that's a lot to look forward to, but you have to also look at, you know, the after football life as well too. And the one thing I noticed, you got good grade point average. So I want to emphasize student athlete. So what are you looking to major in outside of football?
So what I'm looking into is the health and sports medicine major.
Okay.
So after that, I'd probably take a graduate class and go on to be a chiropractor.
Okay. And emphasize the importance of education. I want the young people to hear this as well too, and I want them to hear it from a young person. What is the importance of education?
Well, a lot of guys think when they go to college ball, they want to go off to play in the NFL, and a lot of the times, like, that can't happen, but you got to have something to fall back on. So a lot of times you got to go and, I mean, really grind it out, get your degree. So that way, if you do have those aspirations and it doesn't work out, you have that ability to fall back on that major that you got in college and still be able to go and get a job to support your family.
Absolutely. I want to ask you this one final question, because I know that Bishop Carroll didn't quite have Bishop Carroll type season. I've followed them throughout the years, and they've always been in contention for a state playoff. What would you say to the players that you guys are leaving behind? Because I know you guys had a pretty stout senior class. Y'all have had some success. But to the ones that's coming along behind y'all, because I know y'all have laid the foundation for them, what would you tell the younger players coming up at Bishop Carroll as far as passing the mantle on to them?
Just don't give up in the program. I mean, every team is bound to have a couple off years, but as long as you're willing to buy in and get all your guys to become a team, that's kind of where we struggled at my senior year, is we were a lot of individuals and it didn't really feel like a team. So, I mean, as long as you get your guys to buy in and really get that bond and, like, form a team, you're automatically going to play better than a bunch of individuals out there just running around trying to be themselves.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Morris, I want to thank you for the few minutes that you have spent on here. Sorry we were running a little bit behind time, but, you know, better late than never, and I'm glad that we got you on, and I will definitely be keeping an eye on you. So when you make that decision of where you're going to actually spend your next 4 years, you let me know, and we will get you back on, and we'll follow you throughout your college career, all right?
Awesome, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
I appreciate you being on the show, and, like, this show will also be on Spotify when everything is up and going, so that way you can share with all your friends, family, and future teammates as well too. So once again, I want to thank Mr. Morris for riding along the A-Train Sports Talk podcast. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Carter Morris, Bishop Carroll Catholic High School senior, down to two choices as to where he will spend his college. Still waiting on another guest to come up here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to take a break. And when I come back, we will get this train back on the track in some capacity. So don't you go anywhere. It is the A-Train Sports Talk podcast on a sunny Sunday afternoon.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the glass man?
Hey, glass man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the glass man.
Hey, glass man.
The Glass Man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, Glass Man.
Bring your vehicle to the Glass Man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
It is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, host and conductor of the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. Like I say, I don't have no data to back that up. And don't y'all be laughing at me out there. Here y'all laughing at me. Anyway, I've had one guest on in Player Spotlight. Now we're moving into the Coach's Corner. This guy has one of the top teams in the state of Kansas. They've played in state tournaments, and they are a force to be reckoned with. They're up on the northwestern part of the city in a town called Mays, where they actually have two high schools. He happens to coach the Mavericks of Mays South. My guest on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, glad to have him, none other than Coach Joe Jacks. Coach.
Anthony, hey, I appreciate the introduction, man, and thank you for having me on here today, man. I'm looking forward to talking some basketball with you, and we're appreciative that you invited us to be on here today.
I am grateful that you accepted the invitation. So we're just two guys that are very thankful and blessed to be here today on a nice sunny Sunday afternoon, a day we haven't seen like this in quite some time.
More of these days are welcome, for sure. That's the truth.
Absolutely. I see that you are a busy man, because not only are you invested in the program that you coach, but y'all also support the ladies. And I have to say kudos on that, because I'm one, back in the days, it wouldn't be nothing to see me, especially when my daughter was 2 years old. She's 29. So you know about how long ago that's been. Used to take her to Wichita State women's basketball game. I'm one that will talk about the WNBA on my program, because I believe in women's sports. I believe that they play the game with passion. So I want to say kudos to you taking your team to support the women's program. What is your thought process behind that?
Well, number one, Anthony, you know, I appreciate the recognition for that. But, you know, there are several factors, I guess, with that. But number one, you know, we always teach our guys to be appreciative of the things we have, and you know, we want to always reflect on you know, we get a lot of really positive things going over here at Mays South right now, and I don't want our guys to take any of that stuff for granted. And you know, we've had pretty good support, you know, from people in the community and everything else, and our girls work just as hard as we do. They've got a great coaching staff. Coach Hamilton is a good friend of mine, and I just truly feel like, you know, it's a shame when girls programs don't get as much support as what the guys do. And so I want to lead by example in that regard. I'm, you know, a lot of times trying to tweet and get our student body out, you know, to support the girls more and everything else. You know, our guys always love playing in front of a packed gym and everything else. So any chance we get, you know, on nights that we're not playing and our girls are playing, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer to get out and support them. And not only that, but I mean, it's really kind of an easy sell, because our girls are fun to watch. They've got a really good team as well right now at Mays South here. So, you know, it's just really a great opportunity for us to get out and try to improve our school spirit even a little bit more, and get more people involved. And you know, anytime our guys get a chance to be out and be visible in that regard, it's that, you know, with the script sort of flipped there, and instead of people watching us play, people are, you know, we're out supporting the girls. And, you know, I think the community appreciates that as well when they see us out there supporting the girls as well. So they're fun to watch. It's been a great thing. There's been a few opportunities here this year where we've got to go watch them play on nights we haven't been able to, on nights we don't have a game. And so those are really enjoyable nights in my mind, at least, because, you know, I get to watch a lot more of the girls' games than we do on regular nights, you know. So regular nights, we're when our girls and guys both play, we're always in the locker room prepping. I might get to watch a quarter of the girls' game, you know, but our JV's playing, you know, at the same time in the small gym, and we're trying to get stuff on the board in the locker room and ready to go. And so I don't ever really get to sit back and enjoy the girls' game. So that's a great opportunity for you know, our players and coaches to get to support them and cheer them on.
Right. And I come from the old school saying, they used to say it like this, the older people say it like this, they said, it's a poor frog that won't praise his own pond. So I could tell that you got that motto and you are a living example of it. So your coaching journey, when did you first decide that coaching was your thing?
Well, that's a great question. So it's always sort of been in my blood, I guess you could say. My father was a basketball coach for 19 years. He was a high school English teacher, coached basketball. He went into school administration before I got into high school, so I never played for my dad, but I was around it growing up. I was, you know, as a third grade through sixth, seventh grade, I was a manager for his high school teams and things like that. So I kind of grew up in the gym, and originally when I went to college, I wasn't planning on going into education or being a coach, but after kind of switching majors, you know, three or so times, I just kind of decided on education. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I was close to having a business degree, and a couple of people that I considered role models had actually been, you know, business teachers and went into coaching and everything. And so just by chance, I was in school at Fort Hays State and had switched majors over to education. And a coach that was in the league that I grew up at, I grew up in Logan, Kansas, really small town up north of Hays. But Keith Riley from Hill City, Coach Riley here just a year ago became the all-time winningest coach in Kansas history. And we had some knockdown drag outs and battles when I was a player, you know, over the years. And Coach Riley happened to be on campus at Fort Hays one day and ran into him on campus, and he asked me what I was doing. And I said, well, I'm getting ready to student teach. And he's like, well, where are you student teaching at? And I told him I didn't know yet. We were just getting the process started on that. And he said, well, you need to put in to come to Hill City. And he said, if you come here, he said, we've got a great teacher you can work under in the business department. And he said, you can come be my assistant coach. And so I worked for him for 4 years, and I taught and coached in Hill City for 4 years. Really, truly felt like he had me prepared to be a head coach. And I learned a lot of basketball over the years, even growing up in a gym with a dad as a coach. I mean, this was just even more, more in depth, I guess, if you will, because now I'm actually coaching I owe Coach Riley everything, you know, as far as getting my start into coaching and everything. And we still talk a couple times a week on the phone and everything. And he's still, you know, he's in his 70s, still actively coaching, and he's energetic and fun to talk to, fun to be around, and truly felt like he had me prepared to be a head coach. And I actually made the move to Wichita in 2009. Mm-hmm. And so I go from basically working under a Hall of Fame coach up in Northwest Kansas in a small school to coming to the City League to Wichita East. And I got to work under another legendary coach, Ron Allen.
Ron Allen, rest in peace. Yeah.
Rest in peace. So I was Coach Allen's assistant for 3 years. And I tell you what, if Coach Riley didn't have me prepared to be a head coach, Coach Allen absolutely did. And you know, it was a true blessing for me to work under two guys like that. And you know, anytime you work under, you know, Hall of Fame coaches like that, I just truly felt like they had me ready to be a head coach. And we still implement a lot of the things from both of those programs, even to this day. You know, we've tweaked things and adapted things over the years, but, you know, it was such a beautiful thing. And Coach Allen was such a positive influence and role model for me. And you know, here I was at a city school, and I'm a small town kid from Northwest Kansas, and Coach Allen's taking a chance on me, you know. And so I was Coach Allen's assistant for 3 years. And then when he retired, he actually he went to our administration, and you know, I just tried to work hard for him and get better and learn from him every single day. And when Coach Allen retired, he went and went to bat for me to get the head job there, and things really just kind of worked out. And I got to that was when I remember, you know, the Wichita Eagle came out and did a story, you know, after Coach Allen retired. One, the question was asked, you know, what's it like to try to fill the shoes of a legend like that? And,
right.
You know, I was just like, you know, number one, nobody's ever going to fill Coach Allen's shoes. You know, that man is an absolute legend, and the things he's done, you know, just, you know, being a pioneer, especially for African-American coaches in the city, that Coach Allen was unbelievable, and just very innovative and very detail oriented. And, you know, to me, it was just a true blessing to work under him for another 3 years after I'd already worked under Coach Riley for four. And so, you know, those years I was, you know, teaching at East and coaching at East, you know, those first 3 years, I got to go sit down in Coach Allen's office and eat lunch with him every single day. And, you know, people always assume we were just talking basketball nonstop, but Coach Allen was so well-versed in things going on in the world. You know, Coach Allen and Jay Agnew and myself, the three of us, and then occasionally Matt Curry would come in, you know, down when Mac was in the building subbing, it would be the four of us eating lunch together. But we always joked that we were solving all the world's problems, you know, over lunch hour and everything. And so it was just a great opportunity to grow as a young man and learn under him. After Coach Allen retired, I got the head job at East and was there for another 8 years as a head coach before making the move out here to May South. And mm-hmm. our third year at East, we won a state championship, and we were actually nationally ranked that year according to Max Preps, and just have been really, really fortunate. You know, I've had a lot of great players that have come up through our programs and a lot of great coaches, and you know, it the head coach gets a lot of credit a lot of times, but Anthony, I'm here to tell you, man, you know, it I wouldn't be much of a coach without good players and good assistant coaches as well. Absolutely. So, you know, it's no question.
Now I have to ask this question. I've had a coach, Davis, on there. I think he's retired from campus, and he had a pretty stout team the year that COVID came in and shut the state tournament down. And there's a team up in Bel Air, Kansas. And you probably know where I'm going with this question, because I've asked him the question.
Yes,
matter of fact, I would have liked to see some of them Heights teams go up against that very team up there in Bel Air. It's Sunrise Christian Academy. You had a nationally ranked team. And, you know, I hear guys on talk radio say, well, the difference between a City League school and Sunrise is they got about 5, 6, 7 Division I players on their team. I'm like, yep, that may be so, but they put their uniforms on the same identical way, and I would like to see some of these city matchups. And that nationally ranked team you had at East, how do you think they would have fared against the Sunrise Christian Academy?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and we were really fortunate, you know, at that particular time. I think out of our 12, well, we had three Division I athletes on that team that was nationally ranked. We had a point guard that could have went on and played the Division II level. He decided to go. He was really, really smart and had some academic scholarships and things of that nature. And Terrence Call was his name. Terrence just decided to go to school, but Terrence could have went and played, you know, at the Division II level. We had a three or four guys that ended up playing junior college basketball off of that team, and some of our younger kids ended up, you know, going to college and playing as well that weren't even rotation guys at that time. We had two kids as seniors that year that were kind of our ninth and tenth man or tenth and eleventh man, and it you know, this is just a testament to how good of kids we had, but you know, Sam Eccles and Orlando Johnson, you know, didn't play a ton of minutes early in the year, but they were always ready to go though. Sam, we're actually down by six to Olathe East in the semifinal to get to the state championship game. We had a guard in foul trouble. Sam Eccles is playing crucial minutes for us. He comes in and slides under a ball screen and meets the guy on the other side, takes a crucial charge. I mean, it could have went either way. The guys still give him a hard time saying it was a block, but the officials called it a charge, and that swung momentum our way. And you know, Xavier Kelly goes down and gets a monster dunk the next possession. Now all the momentum's on our side, and Sam hits four free throws down the stretch to seal it, you know. And so I tell that story just to say that, you know, these were guys, you know, eighth, ninth, tenth man that never started a game in high school, but two of these guys ended up starting for their junior college the following year, you know. And so that's how deep we were. And you know, I'm not going to say that we're better than Sunrise or anything like that, but I will tell you, you know, the guys that we had wouldn't back down from anybody, and that would have been fun to go compete against a team like that and everything, you know. And so there were a few times back when Coach Allen was the head coach and I was his assistant, we got to play against Sunrise in the fall league or the summer league occasionally, you know, and they weren't quite as high powered as what they are now at that particular time. They still had some good players and everything, you know, when Buddy Hield first came in, you know, I'm sure they didn't have all their guys there, but there were a couple times at the Newman Fall League that we actually knocked off a Sunrise team, you know, and that probably wasn't, you know, their fully loaded team or anything like that, but there were definitely some good players there, and mm-hmm. our guys would compete, you know, well, without a doubt, you know. So yes, sir.
Absolutely. Now you coached under Ron Allen, so if I'm correct, during that time frame, you would have also had the opportunity to be just opposite side of Coach Taylor at Southeast. So,
oh man,
all of that,
what an absolute legend.
All of that so. Knowledge and legend on one court, and you know, you mentioned what Coach Allen did for African Americans, paving the way, but you would have to put Coach Taylor and Coach Allen both in that same ballpark.
Oh, no question. No question. As fierce the rivals as we were at East with Southeast at that time, you know, those guys did not want to lose to each other, but they were the best of friends off the court. And my first experience in the City League, so I'd moved down here, you know, I'm a young coach and I'm an assistant coach, and I've hardly gotten a chance to know Coach Allen yet. And he tells me, he said, "Hey, you know, we're just a couple weeks in the summer here, and I've been coaching a summer league team and everything else and coaching our JV kids in the summer." And he says, "Hey, I'm taking you to Oklahoma University with me. We're going down to work to Hoop Mountain Camp at OU." He said, "Come on." And so, you know, just a couple weeks into being here, I go down and work at camp at OU. And Coach Allen is the director of the guard camp. Coach Taylor is the director of the big man camp. And so I got to go there and basically help those guys out, and they're, you know, they're running the whole camp and everything, and I'm just one of the coaches there working the camp. But late at night, you know, we'd do dorm checks and get the kids in their dorms, and it was literally like a kid in the candy store for me to set. We would go out to the lobby of the dorm, and there'd be a game on, you know, it'd be the NBA playoffs during that time of the summer and everything, and we'd have a game on, and I was just, you know, soaking everything I could in. I was trying to be a sponge between, you know, Coach Allen and Coach Taylor and the conversations they were having and the basketball they were talking and life as well, you know, but what an incredible opportunity, you know. And so I'll tell you a quick story on Coach Taylor if you have just a minute.
Yeah.
But Coach Taylor always kind of had that rigid edge about him, you know, and people – you know, people that just saw the outside shell of him, you know, they saw this big, you know, loud, intimidating person who was on his guys. He demanded excellence. His guys were going to perform and compete, and there was no doubt about that. But, man, Coach Taylor really cared about people, you know, and he was truly just an incredible leader. And so I get to know Coach Taylor just a little bit that first summer, you know, working a week of a basketball camp with him. The next opportunity I get to talk to Coach Taylor is at the East Southeast football game. And Coach Taylor is taking tickets. He's the ticket manager. So as Coach Allen and I walk in the game together, we see Coach Taylor, we shake his hand. "Coach, what's up? How we doing? How's life? You know, how's your team looking?" All this stuff. And so it's the time of year, though, you know, it's late September, early October. When the sun was up, you know, it was really, really nice outside. And, you know, Kansas weather, as soon as the sun went down, man, it got cold and everything. Well, I show up wearing shorts and a polo shirt to the football game. And it was beautiful during the day. But as soon as the sun goes down, I was freezing. It was cold and everything else. And so we're walking out of the game at the end of the football game. And we see Coach Taylor by the ticket gate. And I walk up to him. I'm going to dap him up, shake his hand. "Coach, what's up? You know, how are we doing?" And so I walk up to him, hold my hand out like, "Coach, what's up?" You know, and before I can even pull my hand up, he punches me in the chest, just thud, you know, thud in the chest. He goes, next time wear a coat, dummy. I still laugh about that, you know, and everybody jokes about I got baptized by Coach Taylor, because if I got punched in the chest by him, that many really loved me. So anyway, that's one of my Coach Taylor stories there. But what an absolute legend, What a blessing for me as a young coach to get to be around guys like that and learn the game from them.
Absolutely. Here's going to be my last question for you, because I know you've coached a lot of basketball. You've been in coaching for a long time. So you've seen the evolution of the game, good, bad, in between. Everybody wants to be Steph Curry. But I've seen a short video clip, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that guy. If they don't,
yes,
they
sir.
Need to watch a video of him. But
he
made a point. He said that guys aren't being taught the game properly now. He said nowadays you have big men they don't want to back down in the lane no more. They don't want to play with their backs to the basket. He says everybody wants to shoot from the stratosphere, and at that time they show a picture of Steph Curry. And then then there's this other word called analytics, and I caught some comments from one of Xavier McDaniel, another well-known name around here.
Yes,
he
sir.
Says, analytics ain't never played the game. He said, I get it. You say 3 points is more than two. But how do you see the game today versus how it was? And what from yesterday's game that you would like to see implemented in today's game? Because I'm seeing this too. I mean, I'm pretty sure you watch Wichita State just like I do. You see the 3-point missed shots, and you see the 2-point sure shot that should be made. But, I mean, how do you analyze today's game, and what is it from yesterday's game you wish was still implemented in today's game?
Well, that's an outstanding question, Anthony. That may be the best interview question I've ever been asked, actually. But I think I can see the argument on both sides of that. And a big piece of me, I guess, growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know, I think a big piece of me, you know, kind of, you know, really desires that old school basketball, you know, that was played, you know, and I was a little kid in the 80s growing up and seeing some of the old, Lakers, Celtics, Bulls, you know, rivalries and everything like that. And then, you know, really grew up throughout the 90s. I graduated high school in the year 2000, but I really do miss a lot of the old school post play. And as a coach, I've always sort of believed in you need to adapt to your players and what are going to be the strengths of your team. And so if you ever get an opportunity to come watch us play this year, we actually have a luxury here at Mays South. We've got three true bigs, and not very many teams have that right now. And so, you know, we're going to play, you know, we've modernized sort of how we get into post-ups and things like that, but we've got several sets that we run to get our bigs touches, you know, and get our bigs post, you know, post entries and things of that nature. We do run a lot of ball screen stuff, you know, and so, I mean, that, you know, a lot of people would say that's, you know, there's a lot of ball screening in modern basketball and everything, and that's absolutely true. But I mean, you can go back into the 70s and 80s and pull clips of teams running pick and roll stuff clear back then and everything, you know. And so I truly do believe I subscribe to some of the analytics stuff. I'm a believer in some of that, but I tell our guys all the time, we're going to use that to evaluate lineups and see where we are the most efficient and things like that. But I truly believe a lot of times, you know, if you've got a pretty good feel for your team, the analytics truly just justify what your beliefs already are a lot of times, you know, and everything. And so, you know, again, if teams that watch us play and teams that are playing against us, you know, we typically play two bigs at a time right now, and that's kind of unheard of in today's world. But I feel like that's an advantage for us right now. We're kind of a tough matchup because Michael Cates, you know, is a 5'10" point guard, and he's got, you know, Division II interest and some NAI offers right now and everything. He's a great guard. Michael's probably going to be the best shooter that I've ever coached, he's an unbelievable player. He's a great one, but after him as a 5'10" guard,
okay,
we basically are 6'3" to 6'7". So we've got two 6'7" kids, a 6'5" kid, a 6'4" kid, a couple of 6'3"s. You know, I mean, we literally have more length than a lot of teams in the state of Kansas do right now. And so we're playing a lot of you know, two bigs and three guards, and that's been beneficial to us. And so, you know, when people watch us play, they're going to see a little bit of that old school in there, but we still shoot the ball pretty well too. And, you know, Michael is a 5'10" guard, and then, you know, Jared and Sammy Dressy and Sam Kemp and guys like that on the perimeter for us have been shooting the ball pretty well. And you know, it's kind of a luxury, I guess, to have a couple of bigs and then also to be able to shoot the ball pretty well on the perimeter. So I've always been sort of an old school coach, even when we don't have a ton of size. You know, analytics typically show that when you're playing inside out, anytime you get a paint touch kick out, your 3-point percentage is going to go up compared to, you know, just swinging it around the perimeter and firing it up and everything, you know. So we do try to play inside out, and that can look a couple of different ways. That can be post entry kickouts, or that can be literally, you know, dribble penetration into the paint and spraying it out, you know, to a shooter as well. And so, but it's truly a really good problem to have, you know, when we rotate three bigs in you know, teams have to honor that inside. If teams aren't honoring it, we're gonna be, you know, be in attack mode on the block and everything else. And then when teams start collapsing on that, then we're pitching the ball out and shooting open shots, you know. And so that's sort of our belief, I guess. And so I try to mesh a little bit of the old school with the new school analytics and everything else, if that makes sense. So that's always sort of been my belief and everything. And so that's where we're at.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And, Coach, I want to say thank you for stepping on the train and enjoying the ride down the track. I'm going to get out and check out the game. It's going to be on a Friday night because I work that third shift schedule. But I'm going to get out on a Friday night and come check out the game. So I will let you really know who I am. We will actually meet, but I'm going to come and check out a Mays South Maverick. Maybe I should come check out the rival game between Mays South and Mays Eagles.
There you go. That's this coming Friday. So it's a homecoming game. It's going to be a big one. And so, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That'll be a big one on Friday.
I will be in the house for that one. I will not want to miss that one. So, Coach, once again, thank you for being on the train. I appreciate you. We'll have to do this once again.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me on, Anthony. Take care, man.
All right. Once again, my guest, Joe Jackson, coach of the Mays South Mavericks, and like I say, I will definitely get to a game. But what I need to do now, I need to take a break because I'm almost over my time. So I'll be right back after a word from a sponsor on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host and conductor, Anthony Smith.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Well, Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. My final segment. Once again, shout out to Carter Morris. And, of course, the Coach's Corner with Coach Joe Jackson of the Mays South Mavericks, who, as you heard, big in-town game, cross-town game, however you want to call it, this Friday, Mays South against the Mays Eagles. So it's a game that I will do all I can to get to that game, even if I have to take my wife. In-town rival, cross-town rival. Anyway, this will be most likely be my last segment, and shout out to one Joanne Chapman for this article, Fight Kansas. As we have high school scores from Friday's game. Again, this is from KansasVibe.com by Joanna Chadwick, who is pretty much a legend around here in these parts for her candid insights on games and knowledge of who's playing who and knowledge of player personnel. I mean, she just knows it all, so shout outs to her. But Andover 65, Salina Central 59, Blake Rucker scored 25 to lead Andover, and Quincy Bradford scored 15. Hand had 11. Salina Central's Caden Snyder scored 15, Des Gibson 13, and Thomas McClendon 12. Mays 47, Hutch 44, Brayden Maiavella scored 12 to lead Mays. Hutchison was led by Julian Smith 16 and Tyrell King's 12. Mountain Ridge 61, Gossel 23. Mountain Ridge's Modelmog, I hope I pronounced it right, hit 4 threes in the first quarter. Finished with 18 points, and teammate Hecox had 13 points. In Shrag hit 5 threes for Gossel and had a team high 18 points. Wichita Collegiate 74, El Dorado 58. Sebastian Hines Turner scored 25 points, and Carter Drumright 15 in Collegiate's win. Logan Garner scored 13 for El Dorado. Now on the girls' side, Andover 42, Salina Central 37, as Alana Shetler led Andover with 15 points and Brooke Walker 12 as the Trojans won. It was their first game that wasn't a double-digit victory. Sanaya Triplett and Tyler Vitrickson each scored 10 for Salina Central. Andover Central 52, Manhattan 49. Andover Central's Hayden Snodgrass hit 5 of 8 from 3 and finished with 21 points. 7 rebounds after missing Thursday's game with the flu. Haven Deckinger had 7 rebounds and 4 assists. Bishop Carroll 59, Eisenhower 23, as Leah Hinkey scored 26 in Carroll's win. Chaparral 49, Wichita Defenders 26. Clearwater 48, Wichita Northwest 47. Clearwater's Elizabeth Tejaden had 3 three-pointers and scored 24 points with 4 steals. Teammate Madison Clevenger had 8 steals. Northwest Aubrey Navarette scored 20, hitting 6 of 10 from 3. Sasha Reed had 8 rebounds. Conway Springs 33, Winfield 30, as Macy Hartman scored 15 points to lead Conway Springs. Winfield was led by Kay McCauley's 10 points. Other scores: Emporia 61, Derby 53 in overtime, Halstead 49, Circle 41. Haven 59, Garden Plain 23. Avery Bronner scored 21 points, and Sienna Dufresne 15 points with 6 assists in the win for Haven. Heston 57, Beulah 43. Hutchison 49, Wichita Southeast 34. Azariah Dodds scored 16 points to lead Hutchison to the win in the win. Capon 56, Gardner Edgerton 41. McCoy Feister scored 15, Lizzie Romer 14, and Ella Rudy 10 in Capon's win. Of the scores, Lebo 53, Madison 36, Mill Valley 46, Augusta 24, Pratt 33, Nickerson 30, Rose Hill 47, Wichita Collegiate 20, Shawnee Mission South 61, McPherson 47. Jayla McLeod scored 16 to lead McPherson. Carter Alvord had 15 and Rihanna Elrich 10. Southeast Saline 38, Ellsworth 35. Washburn Rural 50, Heights 43. Wichita East 56, El Dorado 19, as Hailey Davis scored 16 and Anaya Davis 13 in East Swin. Wichita South 58, Topeka Seaman 53, as Zion Butler scored 21 points, hitting 5 3-pointers, and Ramiah Kennedy had 12 points. And those were scores from games on Friday, January 26th. Now, let's give you a recap of Saturday's high school games. As we take a look, the girls' game, Arkansas City 31, Rose Hill 20. Ark City won the Mulvane tournament. Augusta 48, El Dorado 18. Bishop Carroll 57, Shawnee Mission Northwest 41. Leah Hinkey scored 23 points, and McCory had 11 in Carroll's championship victory at Newton. Circle 40, Cheney 24. Clearwater 54, Andover Central 53. Clearwater's Elizabeth DeJayden scored 21 points, hitting 4 3-pointers, and had 7 rebounds in the win. Teammate Justine Berline had 17 points, 7 rebounds, and Madison Clevenger scored 11, had 11 rebounds and 4 steals. Andover Central's Haven Deckinger scored 17, Hayden Snodgrass 10, and Avery Mason had 7 rebounds. Conway Springs, 58, Wichita North, 43. Melissa Ebenkamp had 15 points, 4 assists, 4 steals, 7 rebounds for Conway Springs. Teammates Macy Hartman had 13 points, Haley Osner 11, and Rayleigh Chitwood had 10 points, 9 rebounds. North Jasani Jackson scored 14 and Charlie Hill 11. Derby 64, Highland Park 53. Derby's Madison Smith scored 21 points, hitting 5 3-pointers in the win. Gardner Edgerton 45, Goddard 41, Halstead 36, Valley Center 25, Haven 48, Andale 38, Mays 48, Capon 43. Mays South won the El Dorado tournament. And you heard me talking in my coach's corner with Coach Jackson, big time supporters of their women's basketball team. And I can't help but believe that Mays South was the beneficiary of some good support from the student body as well as their male counterparts on the hardwood. So congrats to Mays South Maverick ladies basketball team on winning the El Dorado tournament. Manhattan 54, Wichita Northwest 28. Northwest Sasha Reed had 11 rebounds. Aubrey Navarette hit 3 3-pointers and finished with 13 points. And Aaliyah Richard had 4 assists. McPherson 65, Shawnee Mission East 56. McPherson's Carter Alvord hit 4 3-pointers and had 24 points. And Maddie Moores had 3 threes and 13 points. Jayla McLeod had 12 points, 10 rebounds. And Jayla Thompson, 12 points, 8 rebounds. Mill Valley 70, Wichita East 57. Mulvane 49, Collegiate 39. Tegan Garrison scored 24 points to lead Mulvane. Collegiate's Julia Herman had 19. St. James 54, Eisenhower 43, Shawnee Heights 51, Hutchinson 38. Azariah Dawes scored all 18 of her points in the second and third quarters. Wichita South 44, Washburn Rural 38 in overtime. South won the Capital City Classic. Winfield 39, Campus 38, as Kay McCauley scores 17 to lead Winfield. And that is this edition of the Full Court Press, exclusively right here on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, the number one podcast in the state of Kansas, bringing you national, regional, and statewide information. And I am elated because this particular podcast was dedicated especially to Kansas high school sports in the form of the Player Spotlight, the Coach's Corner, and bringing you the scores from this past weekend, some of these tournament games. Like I said in my podcast the day before, I might not have all the information because that's a lot, but I was able to give you a little bit of the Full Court Press. And like I said, next Friday, if you're not doing anything, the big game, Mays South versus Mays, in-town rival game, bragging rights for the town of Mays, Kansas. So we want to wish both schools the best of luck and show the best team win. Good luck to my new friend, Coach Joe Jackson, who has a lot of stories to tell you, who's been around a lot of legends, around the late Ron Allen, around the late Coach Taylor from Southeast. Such a great man, and I hope that if you didn't know who Coach Joe Jackson was, after you hear this podcast, you'll get to know who Joe Jackson, the coach, and Joe Jackson, the man is, and some of his influences. Well, that's going to do it for this rare Sunday edition of the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. I've had a blast bringing this to you. I hope you have enjoyed the ride along the tracks. Until the next time, take care of yourself and each other. Be blessed. I'm out.
Today's podcast was sponsored by The Glass Man, located at 4411 West Central. Chip, crack, or just plain broken, bring your windshield by The Glass Man.